Well, the public is invited to be part of a conversation about the challenges black female athletes face in sports as ESPN's The Undefeated returns to Morgan State University to discuss No Ceilings. With us now is Morgan State University's School of Global Journalism and Communication Assistant Dean Jackie Jones. Dean Jones, welcome.
Thank you.
ESPN's Undefeated returns to Morgan State University this afternoon to talk about a very important subject.
So we see black women athletes,
Simone Biles, Sloane Stephens, and of course Serena Williams. No matter how many championships they win, no matter how many tournaments they win, they remain, especially a Serena Williams, still under the microscope, still under that extra scrutiny.
Tell me why this conversation about No Ceilings is important.
Well, I think that what we hope will come out of No Ceiling is maybe a look forward into what black women athletes can do to address some of these things, you know, the attacks, ways maybe we can make people a little more informed and cognizant of what they're saying. You know, words matter, and we often just repeat what we've heard before, and it becomes fact, so to speak, just because everybody thinks it's common knowledge or you know, common understanding. And there's ways to make people realize that these women are athletes and they are professionals, and what they do, it should be based on their performance, not on looks, and certainly not on looks as defined by the broader society.
And we see that in the WNBA. The women, they play just as hard and just as fierce as the men, but they are severely underpaid as opposed to their male counterparts.
Well, you know, they're different sports, and I always remind people the NBA wasn't the NBA when it started. The early teams started. These were blue-collar guys making some money but also needing jobs in the offseason to be able to pay their bills. And so the WNBA came later, and so the money was better for a starting program, but it certainly wasn't going to start off at the same level as the NBA, which was already 30, 40 years in existence at that point. And so it's a different sport. It has its own brand of athleticism, and it should be respected as such. And the understanding is that the money will come in time if people support it. But if they're looking for it to be the NBA, then they're going to be disappointed. It's not the same game. And they have to respect the performance of the women as professional women's basketball athletes. The same with any other sport. Women's golf is different. Women's tennis is different. It doesn't mean it's diminished. It's just different, and it needs to be treated and respected as its own sport.
We saw earlier this year Serena Williams had an outburst, cost her a match against another person of color. But they're always comparing Serena, well, they're randomly drug testing her, and they're always comparing her to the top 100 men in tennis. Why is that?
You know, that's a real shot. Serena takes a lot of hits. She is so dominant that she is compared to men because the undercurrent is, well, she can't really be a woman and play like that. And so she gets compared to men, and then they have a new category where she isn't quite the same. Again, they're different sports. She is subjected to a disproportionate amount of scrutiny because her performance is so strong. And so that's one of the other issues that plague black women athletes. When they begin to dominate their sport, they want to change the sport, or they want to say, oh, well, you must not be playing by the rules. And the fact that she's just darn good at what she does, and she's better than just about everybody else, should be respected for what it is. But instead, they're going to test her more for drugs. They're going to accuse her of hormones. They're going to say she's more like a man, and then suggest that maybe she should even be playing the men's game where she wouldn't be as dominant. And it's all just, you know, cheap shots. Everybody is in a position, competitive people, I should say, are in a position where they want to beat the other guy. And so what they do is try to find ways to shoot down the opponent. If I can't get in your head, then I will talk about you and try to diminish your image publicly. I will take everything I can to try to get an advantage if I don't have the advantage in skill and strength.
Let's talk about ESPN's The Undefeated. This was a partnership returning to Morgan State University. Talk about how that relationship began.
Well, the relationship began formally a couple of years ago when we met with the editors, the senior editors, and Kevin Merida, who is the senior vice president and editor-in-chief of The Undefeated, looking for a way for us to work together on a project. And we came up with the decision that we would do a project on the images of black female athletes. It actually was one of those discussions. We were trying to decide what the topic would be, and the conversation got so animated around the images of black women that we said, okay, we know what the topic is now, so what's the next step? So we were commissioned to do an academic study where we would look into the history of women's images and how they were portrayed, how they were treated, how they adapted to the treatment. And what we discovered over time is that no matter how well they perform, no matter how good they are at the game, especially when they begin to dominate, the negative images are then basically shot out of the cannon at them. That when black women athletes are in their own milieu, when they are in their own community, they by and large tend to be well-supported and well-regarded. It's when they decide to step up their game and take it to Division I or to the pros that they really encounter a lot of difficulty in terms of public perception and treatment. Everything from death threats. Renee Powell, golfer who was outstanding as an amateur, when she turned pro, she was receiving death threats all the time. She even saved a couple of the letters where they just said, look, if you show up, you may not make it. And so as a pro, she only won a couple of tournaments because most of the time she was getting ready to tee off and looking around to see if somebody was about to attack her. Mm-hmm. I mean, the things that you had to go through in order to be able to just do your job has been tremendously difficult for a lot of women. And so what we found in the research is that the more we learned, the more there was to learn. But we also saw that in many areas, black women athletes took the lead. They were champions in bowling. They were champions in softball. They were golfers. They excelled at every level of the sport. And then when they took their game to a broader audience, they continued to dominate, even though they were also being subjected to all kinds of abuse.
Dean Jones, I'm curious to know your thoughts about Title IX in college athletics as it pertains to women in sports. Do you think in 2018, does Title IX have teeth?
Boy, Title IX, in my estimation, doesn't have the teeth that it should, but it's certainly better than it was before it was instituted.
In 1972.
In 1972, and I'm old enough to remember that. I was in college when Title IX hit. What Title IX has done, however, has raised the profile of college athletics. And I think that its will and tenacity and all of the things that black female athletes exhibited outside of the collegiate atmosphere that they brought to the table that forced colleges and universities to pay more attention, you know, but I think that it suffers the same. Women's sports tend to suffer the same treatment in college that they suffer in the professional world, where they are subjected to being treated as less than. So you're not really having equal expenditures. And then the universities will say, well, you know, women's basketball doesn't draw as much as college football, but it also is how it's promoted, how they recruit, how the coaches view the athletes themselves. And so I dare say when I was teaching at Penn State, the women's basketball team drew more than the men's team because they were a better team. Mm-hmm. They were winning. The men's team was struggling. Will anything ever beat Penn State football? Probably not. But, you know, especially during the Joe Pa era. But I think that women's sports in at some schools are treated very differently. If you look at University of Tennessee under Pat Summitt, you look at the UConn women, Delta State back in the day, they drew because the women athletes were treated as athletes and they were well-regarded and they were winners. And I think that that's what really makes the difference. Title IX's being expanded so that the schools have to make a stronger effort in being more even-handed in how they treat athletes across the board and across sports. So I think that that will improve over time, and it certainly was a great start. It certainly changed the face of collegiate athletics.
So this evening's conversation will be held at the Morgan State University Student Center Theater.
Exactly. It's at the Student Center Theater from 4 to 6 p.m. They will be recording it because ESPN wants to turn it into a TV documentary, And so they will be filming it, including the Q&A with the athletes afterwards. So there's an opportunity that you might be seeing on TV if you've got a little aspiration for stardom. So we certainly want people to come. It's free. There's parking available in the University Center garage on Stadium Way between Cold Spring Lane and Argonne Drive. So there's no excuse to not come out and join us. We're looking forward to having a full house tonight.
All right, Dean Jones, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
All right.